hope that's your prayer. Certainly is mine. We live in a selfish world. Sometimes we treat people the worst who've treated us the best. And none more common than God Himself. I wonder what would happen to this church, to your family, to your school, to your role. If everybody in it, everybody on it, everybody a member of it, was completely surrendered to God. Shouldn't be hard to serve a good God, should it? He's been so good to us. The music is always a blessing here at Crossroads Baptist Church. But you know, you shouldn't just come to church to clap your hands, stomp your feet. You ought to want something to touch your heart. And if it has, let's give God the praise one more time today. As is our habit around here at Crossroads, we are typically in some sort of series in the Word of God. We'd like to spend our time just driving in a text, verse by verse, line by line, precept on precept, here little, there little, receiving and giving the Word as God has given it. Why? Because you cannot live the Bible if you don't learn the Bible. And so we want to teach it and to preach it in a way that everyone understands. I was saying to someone this week, which I have said, and I think I said it this morning, that I went to school and I remember in several classes leaving the class saying to myself, my, she sure knows math well. Wow, he sure knows science well. That's the teacher. The problem was I didn't know math and science when I left the class. The mark of a good teacher is not showing you how much he knows. The mark of a good teacher is imparting knowledge to you so you know. And so the goal at Crossroads Baptist Church is not for you to walk in here and say, Pastor knows the Bible. It ought to be that you walk in here like a restaurant and leave full. You walk in here like a library and leave having read something, right? You walk in here on a quest and leave here with some gold. May the youngest individual in the auditorium, all the way up to the oldest, those who've trained some in Bible college, those who have never heard a Bible message before, may every single person in the building leave here understanding the message. Are we in agreement there? Amen. So we're going to introduce a series where we'll spend the next several weeks in our Bibles. The song is so applicable to where we'll be. We'll not dive very much into it, but I want to introduce it, and introducing a text is probably as intense as the text itself so that we understand exactly what God is trying to say. So take your Bibles and go where we'll be for the next several weeks, to the 86th division in the book of Psalms, Psalm 86. And as you go there, we're looking forward to seeing and hearing what God will say to us. Psalm 86. I want to begin reading in verse number 11, and then beginning next Sunday, we will start with verse number 1 of this text, leading our way up to the verse that I'd like to highlight. Psalm 86, verse number, what did I say? 11. Are you there? First word in verse number 11? I have to see if you're telling the truth. Teach me what? Teach me what? Uh-huh. What are you trying to learn? You trying to teach God your way, or you trying to get God to teach you his way? That's what the verse says. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. I will praise thee, O Lord, my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify thy name forever. For great is thy mercy toward me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. Only 7 of you have been delivered from hell. For great is thy mercy toward me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. Okay. Thank you. You'll be happy about where you're going if you'll be reminded about where you were headed. Preach, Pastor. I'm just reading. O God, the proud have risen against me, and the assemblies of violent men have sought after my soul and have not set thee before them. But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion. Can I get an amen? Amen. Gracious. How about that one? Long-suffering. He puts up with a lot of mess. And plenteous in mercy and truth. Oh, turn unto me and have mercy upon me. Give thy strength unto thy. Yes. I don't know why God doesn't listen to me when I pray. He hears more quickly when servants talk. And save the son of thine handmaid. Amen. I'm not only a servant. Yeah. My parent was your servant too. We got servant in our blood. Show me a token for good. That they which hate me and see it may see it and be ashamed. Because thou, Lord, has hope in me and comforted me. It'll be weeks before we get to verse 17. But that was my verse on the hospital bed, headed to death for a token for good. I think I got a token. And I know it was for good. Let the church say amen. Amen. Father, add thy blessing to the reading of your word. Cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with your spirit. Do what you do and help us do what we're supposed to do. I pray that you bind the devil, put a hedge of protection about this place, that in no way he'd hinder the work of the Holy Ghost of God, and that you'd use your word to speak to us. Give us ears to hear. If there's anybody in the building that doesn't know Jesus as Savior, might that somebody accept Christ as Savior today before it's eternally too late? Hands down, the greatest decision a person can ever make is to get saved. And I pray if somebody's not, that somebody might be saved today. Now, Lord, for all of us who are saved, that's most of us, help us to leave here more committed than ever, striving to match the message of the song, completely yours. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. Those of you that are around here at Crossroads Baptist Church or have been for any length of time know that I spend time in the Psalms daily. I decided to do that a long time ago because I was trying to craft the most balanced diet of the Bible daily. Reading the whole Bible is important to me. I just think if somebody writes a whole letter to you, you should read the whole letter. Now, I'm going to say you read it all in one day, but I'm just saying you shouldn't be a child of God who's never read certain parts of the Bible if all of it was written to you. So I want to read through the Bible. So years ago, I decided to read one proverb a day to match the day of the month. Today's date is? That's right. So this morning, Proverbs 26. And then I read 5 chapters in the Old Testament, and then I read 2 chapters in the New Testament. And then I read 5 Psalms. That's what I read every day. Later on this week, I'll finish the Bible for the first time for this year and start it over again, back in Genesis again. And I'm excited about it. I find something new every single time I read it. The writer of Hebrews says the word of God is quick. That literally means it's alive. It's not a dead book that died with the author. It's a living book that lives on with the author. And so sometimes you read stuff you've read before, but it means something different to you the next time you read it because you're going through something different in your life. And God knows how to speak what you need when you need it. Amen. We don't ever have to worry about God saying the wrong thing. We just have to worry about us reacting the wrong way to it. So when I hit 86 of Psalms again, for I don't know how many times, it happened during a very busy, challenging, taxing week. And the verse jumped out at me that day and has meant something to me since then. Well, God brought me back here again because last week it was one of those interesting weeks again. I don't remember not having an interesting week for as long as I've been alive, but last week was an interesting week. We began the week closing our missions conference, and I stood here as a pastor, listening to my father teach Sunday school and Sunday morning, just straight down the line on how to be a good giver. Amen. May God help us Christians not just to be takers, but to be givers. Amen. It's more blessed to give than to receive. And then the choir and the worship team and all those in the building just took us into the presence of God and in the songs that were sung. And there's just something about being in the house of God on a Sunday at Crossroads Baptist Church that will help your spirit. Somebody say amen. And so there they were, and I was right there with them worshiping. As a pastor, I stood here as a 90, almost 91-year-old man, gave his heart to preach to us, and then baptized one, and then came down and watched as the church found out what we were going to do for reaching a lost and dying world. And this church committed over $320,000 for the next year above our tithes and offerings to be able to give towards missions so that everybody in every place in the world can hear about that man named Jesus. Amen. And what a joy it was. And we finished. We talked to the missionaries, greeted all of them, and immediately after the service, fellowshiped rather quickly, rushed home, ate dinner a lot earlier, and went over to a baccalaureate service, which is kind of a precursor, more intimate celebration for a graduate and their families. And my son, who was scheduled to graduate later on in the week, had a service over at Emmanuel Bible Church. So that happened at 5:15. And we finished there and had several things to do after that and came back home. And on Monday morning, I headed to West Virginia to preach a couple nights at a church I had never been that was celebrating 75 years of existence. And oh, the joy it was to see those people get happy, not only about what God had done, but about what he will do in the future. So I spent a couple days there preaching. On the way down there, I took a couple calls from a couple people mentoring, a pastor who needed advice about whether to stay in the church where he was, somebody else that was in the hospital or battling struggles, somebody else that was trying to get in for doctor's appointments, and then spent a couple days down there and got back up Wednesday morning and came back in here and studied and prepared to preach Job on Wednesday night in an interesting chapter number 3, where Job is wishing he was never born, and now that he was born, wishing he died. We finished Wednesday night, and Thursday morning, I woke up in a sentimental mode because that night, one of my sons would walk across the stage and graduate. I sat there as a proud dad watching him go across the stage and with the rest of his students, and not just watching a young man walk across the stage, but really watching a young man prepare to step into adulthood, fulfilling. Listened and watched. And we went back home afterwards and just pondered the notion of how good God is. Amen. On Friday, I was on the platform speaking to parents and students for a high school graduation and sharing to them, from my perspective as a preacher, what I was feeling the night before as a parent. And then on Saturday, a host of people gathered with us as we celebrated at our home. Some 125 people came through. And I was blown away at just how a church comes together for each other. But I got to the end of the night, and the body was weary, and as I was ending the night of celebration as a parent and a family man, my mind immediately shifted to the fact, tomorrow morning I've got to teach a Sunday school class and preach to God's people. And what I'm going to do with them tomorrow is totally different than what I did today and what I did Friday night and what I did Thursday night and what I did Wednesday and what I did Tuesday and what I did. I'm trying to say that sometimes one week will have you picking up so many hats you can struggle to figure out which one to put on and what it's for. This is what life does. Life does not present you with one challenge for every day for a whole lifetime and let you master it because it's all you do. Life is not like a football team where all the kicker does is run in, kick, and run back out. That's not what life is. Life is full of many hats, and I don't isolate myself as the only one in the building dealing with that because every single one of you faces that every day. You wake up in the morning and wear a mom hat, and then you may wear a wife hat, and then you may switch to a nurse hat, and then you may switch to an Uber hat, and then you may switch to an enforcer hat, and then you may switch to an employee hat, and then you may switch to a sister hat or a daughter hat or come back on to a counselor hat or a companion hat or a confidant hat. And you men may go from dad to father to husband to employee to boss to son to brother to cousin. You teenagers may go from child to peer to ball player to student to confidant to counselor, and you wear them all over the place, and you find yourself, if you're not careful, being divided. You come to a place and you're accounted for in the building, but it doesn't mean that all of you came. I'm talking about all of you came. David in Psalm 86, which is a prayer perhaps not prayed after some specific circumstance, but more like a prayer that he prayed often. And the part I like about the Psalms the most is the humanness of the Psalms. See, because the more holy people seem in Scripture, the more we dismiss ourselves of capable of mirroring. Well, I can never be that because I ain't that holy. I like when David just gets raw and he says, God, the enemy's getting on my nerves, break their teeth. I mean, that sounds more like us, doesn't it? He's human. And the Scripture exposes us to the humanity of David to remind us that God is not interested in using superheroes. It is not what makes us great ourselves that God is looking for. The greatest ability is availability. He does not call the qualified. He qualifies the called. But David in Psalm 86 dials in on the most important area in the life of a Christian. The heart. I said the heart. He's going to make some statements, and we'll listen to these words and look at what they mean, and then I'll give you what the study will be, and then you'll go home and ponder it before we dive in next week. He's going to talk about the heart, but he's going to say specifically to God some prayers to God about the heart that he's asking God to do in verse number 11. He says, unite. Unite. The word unite means to come or bring together for a common purpose or action. David says, unite, unite. Then he goes beyond there and says, unite my heart. Everybody say heart. Now when we think heart, we think what the cardiologist looks at. We think what the phone measures as to how it beats. We think what the treadmill is showing has been reared up or revved up so that we can lose weight or build up our function. But when the Bible says heart, it's not talking about the organ that pumps blood. No. The Word of God shows us that our heart isn't a
fourth separate part of our being. Instead, our heart is a composition of all three components of our soul. Listen to me now. The heart in the Bible represents the mind, the emotions, and the will. It's the combination of all of them together. Scripture demonstrates this in Matthew 9:4. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, "Why are you thinking evil things in your hearts?" Why? Because your heart is where your mind is. Thinking is an activity of the mind. But the Lord Jesus asked the scribes, why were they thinking in their hearts? This shows our mind is a part of our heart. Acts 11, 23. Notice the scripture. Who, when he arrived and saw the grace of God, rejoiced and encouraged them all to remain with the Lord with, what is it? Purpose of heart. To purpose is to decide strongly to do something, which is an exercise of our will. So this verse shows us our will is a part of our heart. And then look at the next verse. John 16, 22, therefore you also now have sorrow, but I will see you again and your heart will rejoice and no one takes your joy away from you. Rejoicing is related to your emotions. Here we see that our heart rejoices. This shows us that our emotion is also part. Is anybody listening to me today? I'm saying to you, when I talk about your heart, when God talks about my heart, he's talking about the place where my mind, where my will, and where my emotions all function. Listen to what Solomon said to his son as a daddy counseling his boy on life. He didn't say, keep your pockets full. He didn't say, keep your savings full. He didn't say, keep your stocks and bonds. He didn't just keep your furniture updated, keep your house renovated. He didn't just say, keep yourself looking. These are all good things. But listen what he said to his son if he wanted his son not just to make a living, but to know how to live. Keep your heart with all diligence.
It means protect your heart. Why, Daddy? For out of it are the issues of life. Here's what Solomon's saying to his son. You better guard your heart, because how your heart goes determines how your life goes. So what about this heart, this mind, emotion, and will that all of us have, every single one of us, the heart? What about? Well, I'll tell you what Jeremiah says about our heart. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? That's what Jeremiah said. Well, I know you're thinking, oh, Pastor, yeah, I know. Jeremiah was thinking about normal people. He didn't factor in that I'm kind of an exception to the rule. Most of the people I know, Pastor, have bad hearts. But me, I'm a good-hearted person. Wrong. Every single human being at the core of our carnality has a wicked heart. Can I say amen? Desperately wicked, who can know it? God said, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins according to his ways, God's ways, and according to the fruit of his doings. A great verse in Proverbs 27, verse number 19. We're talking about what? The what? Come on, talk to me. We're talking about what? The which is representative of your mind, your will, and your emotions. Proverbs 27, 19 says, as in water, face answereth to face, so the heart of man to man. Have you ever stood above water and looked down at it? When you stand above the water and look down at it, guess what you see? You see a reflection. You see a reflection of yourself. Now, be careful. Don't get mad at the water, because the water is only showing the face in front of it. You can't punch a mirror because you don't like what it sees. If you don't like what it sees, get out the mirror or fix what's wrong. Somebody help me now. See, the mirror is not producing truth. It is reflecting that which is in front of it. Here's what the writer of Proverbs says. Water reflects a face. The face in the water looks like the face in front of it. They're one in the same. The water is a vivid, accurate reflection of the face. Watch this now. So the heart of man to man. Watch this now. The water shows what the face is. The face is looking at the water because the water is looking at, they're one in the same. Here's what the proverb is saying. He's saying, you are what your heart is. Somebody help me preach. You are what your heart is. I didn't mean to talk to you that way. Mama, I know I say bad things and I'm disrespectful, but down in my heart, yeah, you're bad and disrespectful. Because, see, your heart is going to come out your mouth. Come on now. See, you are what, Pastor, please forgive me. I'm sorry my child is like that. But deep down inside, he has a wicked heart. Because wicked lives are indications of, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth. You cuss like a sailor, you don't have a good heart. You tell dirty jokes all the time. You got a dirty heart. Jesus said, it's not what goes into the person. I don't eat pork. You may not eat pork, but you cuss. It's what comes out of him that defiles him. Somebody help me. See,
it's not your diet that's the biggest thing, although it is important. Some people have a great diet and are physically fit, but they have a horrible character and they're spiritually deteriorating. Proverbs 23:7. As he thinketh in his heart, so is he. As he what? So the heart includes your mind. As he in his, so is he. That's why it matters what kind of music you listen to. Because as you think in your heart, so is he. Well, I just listen to music for the beat. I just listen to music because I'm cool. I just listen to the music because it's new. The studies of rap music and rock music tell us that the threefold theme of this type of music is sex, drugs, and rebellion. I wouldn't listen to sex, drugs, and rebellion unless I wanted to be sex, drugs, and rebellion. Because as he thinketh in his heart, Romans 10:9-10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth and believe in thine that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be, for with the man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. People grow up in church all their lives, die and go to hell if they've never believed in their. Then David said, fear. Unite, heart, fear. The word fear, in context of fearing God, is derived from the Hebrew word yira. It translates awe or reverence. This implies that God-fearing means having a deep respect and honor for God rather than being scared of him. I had a non-Christian say, I tell you what I don't like about you, Christian. I always talk about you fearing God. What kind of God do you love that fear that you fear? That's why I'm not a Christian. I said, yeah, you're not a Christian because you don't know what fear means. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil and pride and arrogancy. That's what the scripture says. What does it mean when I fear God? It means I respect God. I'm in awe of God. I drop my jaw more about God than I do about Anthony Edwards and Wembanyama and all. No. Nobody wows me. You see, if the ball player can wow me, then the God that made the ball player should wow me. Now listen. David said, my mind, my will, my emotions, they're all over the place. Some of you came to church this morning. Your body's here, but your mind's not. Watch this now. Some Christians bring their body and their mind to church. I can tell. They nod their head to the preaching. They say amen. I get to the end of the message. I ask them if God spoke to you about something you need to work on. They raise their hand and say, absolutely, God spoke to me. But in the weeks to come, I see no change in their life. So their mind and their emotions were at the church, but their will was at home. And then some people bring their will to church. And maybe even their mind. But somebody gets up and sings, I'll never forget what he's done. And that Christian never changes facial expression. I'll never forget what he's done. How he saved my soul and made my whole. And that Christian goes, you don't have to run around. You don't have to wave a hanky. You don't have to clap your hand. You don't have to stomp your feet. You don't have to shout. You don't have to act wild. You don't have to be like the next person. But don't tell me he snatched you out of the devil's hell, pick you up and turn you around and place your feet on solid ground and gave you opportunity to go to heaven. God, your Father, Jesus, your Savior, Holy Ghost, your comfort, Word of God, your God. Heaven is your home and your mouth don't move. You know why? Your emotions are waiting for the ball game to come on later. That's what life does. It pulls us all kinds of places. And here's my challenge. I'm a husband. I say I'm a husband. All you husbands say amen.
Tyreek, I heard your voice. So you eloped this week. You were with me in West Virginia. So you got married yesterday? What's that? Well, you got married through Zoom. Oh, okay. Yeah. I was going to say you got married through Zoom, all right. Yeah. She going to Zoom right off from you. He's going to be a husband in September. He's looking forward to it. He said amen in prospect. Listen to me, every one of you that just said amen as a husband. You know why so many marriages are falling apart? Because we have husbands who don't have their whole hearts in their marriage. And they blame every foolish excuse. Your body was in the house, but your mind was somewhere else. Sometimes your will was out on a date, but your emotions were with another woman. We're not faulting you for struggling. David did. But he did something about it. He talked to the only person that could take that scattered heart and somehow get it all accounted for in the same location. Listen to the prayer. Unite my heart to fear thy name. God, this thing about reverence, this thing about serving God, this thing about, listen, I love the song he just sang, but if you think you can get the lyrics off the screen and sing it in your head and that's going to make you do it, you got another thing coming. Living for God is more than singing a song. Living for God is more than coming to church. Living for God is more than raising your hand. Living for God is more than just a Sunday couple of hours. No. Living for God is walking out of this building and going to that sin-sick world that is so full of foolishness, that cesspool of immorality. I'm talking about that devil that's a lying murderer that wants to steal and kill and destroy. I'm talking about that world that is altogether contrary, walking in a different path than what God's word. I'm talking about your own flesh, that in it dwelleth no good thing. Listen to me. Here's what happened. We find ourselves in important places and we're trying to do what's right, but our mind's one place, our will's one place, our emotions. We are not good Christians because all of us never shows up at the same. Do you ever talk to somebody? You can tell they're looking at you, but they're not listening. And then you know they're not listening because you say, what did I just say? And they go, because they weren't listening. That's how some of us are trying to serve God. We're trying to serve God with a divided heart. And here's what David said, God, I'm all over the place. I want to be a good husband. I want to be a good son. I want to be a good daddy. I want to be a good king. I want to be a good warrior. I want to be a good counselor. I want to be a good leader. Listen to me. In 1 week's time, I was responsible for a lot of people and they didn't get what they need if I didn't even have all of me present. So I joined David in Psalm 86, and I invite you to join me and David with this prayer that only God will. God, you go track down that mind with its little wandering self. You go find it, because God got a GPS tracker on your mind that can find it when your wife or your husband cannot. God can do something and find your emotions when other people cannot. And God can find your will when you can't even control your. Here's what David said. You find that mind and bring it here. You find those emotions and bring them here. And some people got more emotions than other people do. Can I get an amen? And some people's emotions are more roller coaster-ish than other. Can I get an amen? And some people are just kind of emotionless. Can I get an amen? Here's what David said. Oh, God, you take whatever I am, whoever I am, my personality, my makeup, my genetic pool. You somehow get my mind, you get my emotion and put them in the same spot, and then get that will, which is my decision and my willingness to align itself with a certain action. You somehow take it and dial it up like the sights on a gun, put it like an arrow aiming at a bullseye. Synchronize, unite, get all three of them bad boys that represent my heart in the same school present, in the same place, at the same juncture, for the same purpose, fearing thy name. That's what we're going to talk about for the next several weeks, because we all need it. You ain't good at nothing if all of you ain't doing it. And there's nothing more important than fearing God's name. Raise your hand if you need this. Oh, God. It's not going to get any better till Jesus comes. We're going to keep getting pulled. Thank God for the opportunity to preach different places and impact people. But when I land in an auditorium on a Thursday night to watch my son graduate, I don't need to be thinking about them people I preach for in West Virginia. I need to have my heart united to be a daddy to honor God. And sometimes we can't figure out even where our heart is. Thank goodness he can. He does. He will. Say with me, unite my heart to fear. Let the church say amen. Our Father, in Jesus' name. Help us. We're all over the place. Not trying to be, we just are. And we need your help. We need your help. Big time. Heads bowed, eyes are closed. Pastor, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven and I know it. Would you raise your hand? I'm saved, going to heaven and I know it. Because I believed in Jesus Christ in my heart. Say amen with your hand up. Put your hands down. Pastor, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. I know it. Yep. However, I was going to admit to you, Pastor, this prayer David prayed and this psalm David wrote, I live right there. And I need God to help me. I don't want to be divided. I don't want to be pulled. I don't want to be good at other stuff better than I am at what I was made to be. God spoke to my heart, Pastor, today. That's you. Would you put your hand up? Oh, bless you. Bless you. Put your hands down. I'd like you to pray right there where you are. Would you? Last question. Pastor, I'm not sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven. But I'm sure I don't want to go to hell. Listen to the question. Pastor, I'm not sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven, but I'm positive I don't want to go to hell. Please pray for me. If that's you, would you slip your hand up and let me pray for you on the floor or in the balcony? I'll not embarrass you. We're not in the habit of that. So I'm going to pray for you. God wants to live in your heart. Anybody like that? I'm not sure I'm going to heaven, but I'm sure I don't want to go to hell. Please pray for me. Anyone like that? So all over the building, talk to God. Pray that prayer. This week, I want all the folks to read Psalm 86. I preached out of this psalm years ago. My dad told me from that day he has read Psalm 86 every day among other psalms and his other reading. And you're going to enjoy Psalm 86 because the whole psalm is going to provide the formula for what David is asking of God. We're not off the hook, beloved. God's going to do the work, but there's some workability he requires out of us. So join us in the series, would you? Here or online, because we all need it. Father, thank you. And I pray that each of us has been challenged. I know I am. I've committed to you in these days, whatever days we have left, to live in the moment fully engaged. I don't want to be already where I'm going to be tomorrow, and I certainly don't want to be stuck where I was yesterday. I'm here now. Unite our hearts to fear thy name. Thank you for the clarity in Scripture. Now help us to receive it with willing hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, there's nothing like the Bible, is it?